Will you pray with me? Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So in one of the classic I Love Lucy episodes, which some of you may have watched many times, Ricky finds Lucy on all fours in her living room, obviously searching for something. When he asks what she's doing, she explains that she's looking for her lost earrings. And so he asks her, "You lost your earrings in the living room?" "No," she replies, "I lost them in the bedroom, but the light is so much better out here." There has to be another way, right? A better way. There has to be another way, maybe what some of us are thinking at the beginning of this new year. Whether we're looking for love in all the wrong places, or maybe tired of seeing the chaos and fear of the evening news, whether we're anxious about the future of our nation, or weary with the grief that weighs upon us, or whether we're just trying to lift our head up above the pressures of daily living, a new year gives us a chance to begin again and to say to each other, as a word of encouragement even, there has to be another way. In addition to being the first Sunday of the new year, this is Epiphany Sunday, the day which this year actually falls on the 12th day of Christmas, if you are interested in this kind of stuff at all. If you start counting the days on December 26th, this is the 12th day of Christmas. If you count Christmas Day night as the first night, then last night would be 12th night. Remember Shakespeare and 12th night way back when? And today would be sort of a day on its own, last night being Epiphany Eve and this being Epiphany. In some cultural traditions, actually, gifts are given on Epiphany as sort of a symbol of gifts coming from the wise men and less about Santa Claus at Christmas time, Christmas Day itself. Of course, as you know, God doesn't care a bit about any of this calendaring stuff, but it's good for us to be sort of rooted and grounded. And those of you who come from more liturgical traditions may kind of remember some of this from your own growing up years or in other parts of the world. So Epiphany in the story of Jesus marks the arrival of the wise men. Finally, as the story is told in this way, and the wise men we find only in the Gospel of Matthew. Epiphany, by definition, is something that so captures your attention that it makes you stop what you're doing and literally say, there is another way, there has to be another way. From the Greek, epiphany means a revealing or an appearing. And in this case, it is indeed the appearing of the light of the world. Some of you may remember after Russia beat us into space in 1958 and sent the first human into Earth orbit in April 1961, the challenge of the Cold War and the fear of loss of our world leadership position kind of sent us into a crisis. And people who were looking up at the stars and NASA, they said, there has to be another way. We've got to get to the moon. And the very next month after April 1961 and Russia sending the first human into Earth orbit, in May, President John F. Kennedy, in a joint session of Congress, said, we will land a man on the moon before the decade is over. Some of you may remember that. And we did, of course. The journey was not easy. Thousands of years, people have been trying to figure this out, how to get up into outer space. But by 1968, the Apollo 8 mission finally went into outer Earth orbit and orbited around the moon, not to land yet, but to orbit around it. And on Christmas Eve, 1968, while in orbit, astronaut Bill Anders took this photo. It's become known as Earthrise. It's the Earth rising above the moon's surface. Isn't that beautiful? And televisions everywhere captured the Christmas Eve broadcast in which the crew, the spacecraft, orbited the moon 10 times over the course of 20 hours, and the crew read aloud the first 10 verses of the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And 7 months later, before the decade was out, we did indeed land on the moon. Our story this morning from the Bible finds other kinds of stargazers, of course. the wise men or astrologers staring up to the night sky, perhaps thinking to themselves, there has to be another way. As good as life is, there has to be something more. We don't know much about these magi. They may have come from Arabia or somewhere in that vicinity. We know they were not of the Jewish faith, and so as wise as they were indeed seeking something more, something different, someone wiser, something that would give them more life. And when they saw the star, it was enough to make them jump on their camels and seek out this light in the sky that they had seen. There's a lot of great jokes and cartoons about the wise men, but one of my favorites is from The Far Side. I used to give my dad a Far Side calendar every year. Maybe you know that one. And the cartoon shows shows three wise men gathered around the baby Jesus, and a fourth wise man is headed out the door carrying something. And the caption says, unbeknownst to most theologians, there was a fourth wise man who was turned away for bringing a fruitcake. My apologies to those of you who like fruitcake. I know there's a few of you out there. So when the Magi arrived at Jerusalem seeking more guidance in Jerusalem, and then finally making their way to Bethlehem, but all they found was darkness. The kind of darkness that actively seeks to extinguish and cover up the light. King Herod, the evil King Herod, was in power, and his paranoia, and he was paranoid, was fueled by the thought that the King Jesus would take away his power, especially when he found out that this new baby was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. And Matthew, the people Matthew was writing to, would have known these prophecies. And he wasn't the only one. All of Jerusalem was a bit anxious when they heard what had happened. What does this mean, they thought, as they tugged at their beards. So Herod developed a plan, saying to the wise men, after you find the baby, please come back and tell me, wink, wink, right, where the child is, so that I too may worship him. The Bible tells us that the wise men were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, and we read that they went home by another road or another way. But Herod, furious, and we read this later in Matthew chapter 2, furious about the Magi's cover-up operation, actually orders all the children in Bethlehem under the age of 2 to be killed. It's a horrible story. So paranoid was he, just to make sure King Jesus wouldn't rise up. We know that Jesus and his family were protected. God had a special plan of protection for them because they fled to Egypt, being warned in a dream, in Joseph's dream, to take cover and go for safety. But not so for the other children, not so. And that was the world Jesus was born into, which, of course, sounds a lot like our world in some ways, doesn't it? Maybe not up close and personal, I hope and pray not for you, but the darkness we hear and see so much on the evening news, the darkness which can seem to shroud our world and our nation at times, violence and hatred instead of love. Sometimes you, I know, have known that darkness personally as well, that darkness that might begin with a phone call in the middle of the night to come and sit beside a loved one in the hospital. Or the darkness which has caused the house to feel painfully quiet this Christmas and a chair to be excruciatingly empty. The darkness which causes or can cause a young mom to be overcome by something like postpartum depression, her family and friends standing by helpless. The darkness which keeps family secrets where the truth should be told. The darkness which can come over all of us, even at the best of times, when the light just doesn't shine like it used to. It's not, of course, that darkness is all bad. The difficult times in our life can be times when we might see the light more clearly or yearn towards it more closely. Poet Mary Oliver has written, she said this, she said, someone once gave me a box of darkness, and that too was a gift. In other words, darkness can allow us to see things and to be clarified in things, and help us discern and be drawn back to the light. But when we're in those dark times and those difficult times, we may be saying to ourselves, there has to be another way. And there is, of course. But we will have to choose it. We will, as we enter into this new year, for instance, we'll have to choose love over hate every day. We'll have to choose forgiveness over bitterness every day. We'll have to choose sharing over greed if we want the world to be what God desires for it to be. We'll need to choose light over darkness. We'll have to choose another way, another road. Do you remember the Robert Frost poem, Two Roads Diverged in a Wood? And I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. As the Gospel of John reminds us, and as we reminded ourselves on Christmas Eve just a week or two ago, while we sang Silent Night in candlelight, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. There is another way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And at the beginning of this new year, I want to invite you to follow again, to recommit to following in that way. Will you look for the star rising upon the horizon of your heart and follow it? Follow it towards the light. Will you take a risk as the Magi did when they traveled from a foreign land, leaving behind everything that was familiar and seeking something new and true? Will you offer your gifts to the one, to the King who rules with peace and justice? And when the darkness comes, as it will, as it does in our lives, will you say with hope and confidence, there has to be, there is another way. Arise, shine, people of Trinity, for your light has come. That is the promise of God. The glory of God has risen upon you. Go into this new year ready to walk in the way of Jesus, ready to live in the light of Christ. Amen.